T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Good day to you. Welcome back. Bill Michaels Show on the air. Okay, I got a bit of breaking news here. This is from Fox 6 News out of Milwaukee. I just saw their tweet. As if they couldn't get any uglier for those that wear Crocs. Apparently Crocs have launched a new line of high heels. Oh my God. It's more like just a giant wedge, but they couldn't get any uglier. Those are like contraceptives. Just as ugly can be. Holy mackerel. I've always thought Crocs were ugly. Now I've seen it all. And they've got them in pink, too. Pink Croc high heels. Ugh. Oh, my goodness. It just doesn't get any uglier than that. Like I said, if you're going to walk around in Crocs, 9 times out of 10, that's going to be the contraceptive that's going to keep you clean. One of the ugliest pieces of foot apparel ever out there. Glad to have you today. By the way, I'm Bill Michaels, Radio Joe across the way. This portion of the program brought to you by our friends at Cousin Subs. They are the official sub sandwich of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. And we always recommend the Bill Michaels walk in, tell them you want it, own it, get it, live it, love it. Woo! That's it. That's the pepperoni melt, extra mayo, extra cheese on that Italian bread with a side of Radio Joe cheese curds, and you are good to go. That is comfort food at its best. Download the app on any of your mobile devices, or go to CousinSubs.com. Cousin Subs, where they believe in better, the official sub sandwich of yours truly. We bring him in now, the co-host of Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio. I've done their show a couple of times. We now bring in Brandon Tierney, who joins us on our show. Brandon, how you doing?
What's going on, man? Spot on with the Crocs.
Oh, my God.
Who the hell puts those things on in the morning? Looks in the mirror and says, I look good.
Oh,
you
yeah.
look like an idiot.
Yeah.
You don't look good. You look like a clown.
No, it's bad.
And then when you throw the socks on under them.
Oh, that's even worse. That's like wearing Birkenstocks and socks. You should be on a hemp farm somewhere, you know?
Exactly.
Hey,
what's up, buddy?
Well, you know what? A lot going on. There's a lot of talk about that team in New York, the Mets, and who they may or may not give up, and the Brewers' interest, and obviously baseball is going on, and we're at the unofficial halfway point, and there's talk about the Brewers making a deal, and will they or will they not get Machado? And so what right now interests you? Let me ask you that.
Mm-hmm. What interests me with baseball? Well, there's a couple things that jump out. I think at the risk of sounding like a homer for a second, but I do think it permeates, outside of this market. Where I live in New York, but we obviously have a national show. I think the Yankees-Red Sox race is fascinating because you're going to probably have the loser, I'll put quotes around that, of the American League East win, I don't know, 103, maybe 105 games and have to play a one-game wild card game. Wow. Plus, they play the final three games of the year. They actually finish up with each other, which is sweet. I think that's pretty awesome. Also, historically, I thought maybe this happened, one time, I don't know, in the 20s or the 30s. It's never happened. We've never had four teams win 100 games in a season. We might get that this year. Yanks, Red Sox, Astros, and Seattle. I talk a lot of Milwaukee sports, and I've brought you guys up a lot on the show.
Mm-hmm.
I love what you guys are doing. It's a great energy. I'm not really surprised. I actually knew you guys would be pretty good coming in this year. And the funny thing is, because we were doing one of our segments, Inbounds, Out of Bounds, and the question was yesterday, matter of fact, if the Brewers land, or if the Brewers or Phillies land Machado, would either be a legitimate World Series threat? And I said, I don't really know. I think the Phillies would need that for sure because their pitching's not good. There's just too much of a gap between what they give up and what they score. But I'm like, that's unfair to Milwaukee to kind of put him in the same spot there. Listen, you're not going to get him. He's going to be a Dodger. But having said that, I just think it's a lot of fun. And if I'm a Milwaukee sports fan right now, with the risk of you know, trying to sound like I'm just appeasing the home audience. And you know that that's not my style.
Right.
Say what I mean. Hey, listen, I mean, Bucks, okay. Forget about Jabari Parker, whatever. Get ready for the Bucks season. Here we go. Rodgers healthy. Some improvements on defense. All right, let's see what we got. Brewers are rocking. Marquette's going to be pretty good. I think times are pretty good. You got the new arena coming for the Bucks. You guys should be pretty happy, right?
Yeah, you throw into a good Wisconsin football team coming into next season, one of the top 10 in the country. And, yeah, things are not bad as far as our grass grows here. There's no doubt about it.
I know the fish are pretty good as well. Fish biting right now?
The fish are always biting. You know, people sit out there on lakes frozen over, and the fish are always biting.
Amazing. It's funny. It's so weird. You know, I'm one of the only guys growing up in Brooklyn. Thank God I quit this one habit. That dipped, you know, that would dip skull, did that for years in high school and college. My buddies are like, what the hell is that? You know, it just didn't match where I was from. And I love to fish. And, you know, growing up in concrete and you know, for the most part, not many parks and, you know, a lot of highways and not a lot of places to fish. I've got this great affinity for fishing. So, yeah, just a random thought.
There's some fishing leagues that come through here as well. I think there's a bass classic that comes to this area. There's a walleye, either a walleye or a trout or something.
It's walleye. What kind of money do those guys make? If they're pretty good, can they make six figures?
If they're pretty good, they probably make six figures traveling all over the country.
Right?
Yeah, but I think you take care of yourself, too. I think you have to pay all your own expenses. And I don't know if there's enough sponsorship money over there that's going to put you over the top.
It's probably like a golfer. I mean, it sounds appealing, but if you're not in the top 25, for 30, you know, you got to rent the house when you go to the Masters. You got to pay for your own airfare. Those individual sports, you know, when you're in control and you're winning, it's nice. But when you're lagging, you're wondering if you're going to make rent in some spots. I got you.
That's exactly it. Hey, getting back to this Brewers chase, and we know the Cubs were picked to win the division at the beginning of the season. The Cubs, obviously, Darvish has not been good. Chatwood has been a walking machine. Their bats are starting to heat up as far as the run differential goes. But the Cubs still on paper look like the best team. I just don't know, as inconsistent as they've been, if they're still going to be. I think the Brewers, with all the injuries they've had, with the fact that, you know, they haven't had that one or two aces that they could rely upon, the fact that they're still 2.5 games back sitting here at the All-Star break, tied for one of the best win totals in the National League, I still think it's the Brewers right now might be the team to beat.
You know, if this were a different sport, I might say I might challenge you on that, because, you know, I think in certainly in basketball and maybe a lesser extent hockey, you know, when you get into long series, there usually the residue of past failure helps propel you to future success. I mean, you look at some of the teams in the NBA, like the Bad Boys had to lose to the Celtics before they finally cracked through. You know, Jordan had to lose to certain before he finally cracked. It's the process. But baseball, it's so cyclical. Like, you know, I was saying this to a couple of buddies. Like, so even if the Dodgers do get Machado, you know, he can hit 190. It's not like if you acquire Kawhi Leonard and he's healthy, he's gonna just do what he did in San Antonio. He's gonna put up 25 and be a great defender, because that's it's a transferable game. It's not cyclical. Baseball, the Cubs are favored because of their pedigree, and they've got the championship, and they've played more postseason. You don't know. I mean, there is such a thing as really great teams or really good teams in baseball just having a real downtick, and this might be the year. And I'll tell you this, I don't think that the Brewers need somebody. First of all, I don't think the Mets are trading DeGrom. They're not doing that. So I don't even think that it would take somebody like a DeGrom. If you guys can get, and maybe Happ falls into this category, who I'm not enamored with, but at least he's an innings eater for the most part. If you can find like a second or a third pitch, more like a third pitch, just an innings guy, like a back of the rotation guy, I think that's good enough. I think we fall in love with the notion and, you know, the aura of an ace. How many true aces right now? I mean, true certifiable aces right now are there around baseball? Six?
Maybe.
Sale, Verlander, Severino,
Kershaw
was healthy, Mad Bum, Scherzer. You know, there's six. Maybe we're leaving out one or two. So maybe there's DeGrom is one. Maybe there's seven or eight. Even the good teams, there's a dearth of aces to go around. So I think we get too wrapped up in the notion, and I just think that a guy that can give you 5.5 or, you know, five innings or tap into the six, give you a chance to get a bullpen going, if you've got the requisite bats to match up with that, I think there's just a lot of wasted energy talking about pursuing aces. I don't think it's really necessary. And I think that history bears that out.
Talking with Brandon Tierney, co-host of Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio, I want to ask you the outside perception, because there seems to be this microcosm, this loud minority, if you will, that has said, well, you know, the Brewers would have six, seven, eight more wins if it wasn't for Craig Counsell. What is Craig Counsell's cachet outside of the city of Milwaukee and the Brewers fan base?
I'm going to be very honest with you. It's largely anonymous. It's almost faceless. That's a great question, and I think that if you ask... I mean, I got buddies who are rabid Mets and Yankees fans, and they know the league pretty well, and they know Counsell was a scrappy player, choke up on the bat, and probably squeezed a lot more out of his talent than he should have. He's a grinder. But I really think that if you said, hey, who's the skipper of the Brewers? You might get some guy saying it's Phil Harvey, it's Harvey's Wallbangers.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I mean, I don't think that a lot of people make that association, let alone can give you a real detailed assessment of what he's like night to night in the dugout. I don't think people outside of each market consume baseball that way. You can watch the Packers, right? And you know stylistically, and not just because of Aaron Rodgers, but you know stylistically what they'll deploy. You know what they like to run, and you know historically, and what they're good at, and what they try to avoid. You know that, you know, there's any team, even a bad team, has an inclination to do a certain thing. But when it comes to managers in baseball, I mean, because of the emphasis of the running game, it's not like it's a Whitey Herzog team from back in the day that would run at will with guys like McGee and Vince Coleman and some of those guys and Lonnie Smith. I don't know. I don't know that there's a real defined scouting report on Counsell. I'm curious, what's yours from being inside the bubble,
outside of good? I look at it this way. They had 51 wins at July 4th. You know, I mean, come on. The guy can't have his head up his rear end, right?
Why, do you think that he's disrespected nationally, or do you think he's just ignored?
No, I just was looking for the national perspective, because I get more of the screamers and yellers when, say, they think that he didn't make a right move handling a bullpen or bringing somebody up to pinch hit, or, you know how that goes.
Of course.
Or discipline a player for making a boneheaded mistake, something like that. I think he's done... From inside the clubhouse perspective, the fact that other managers say, well, I have an open door policy, and they sit inside their office and they have their door open. Well, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
But Counsell actually gets out and mingles. It's not that he's their buddy, but he's been there, done that.
Yeah.
He's a guy that walks in and goes, he knows exactly what it is they're going through. Hey, you got that heel bruise. I went through that back in such and such. I did this. So he's a guy that can walk the walk and communicate and still command enough respect to say, you know what? I'm the skipper too. So.
Yeah.
I like that combination. You may not always agree with the moves, but you can't argue with the fact that he's got 55 wins tied for the best total in the National League with the team that everybody thought was going to run away with it.
Hey,
so I'm good with it.
I'm not trying to argue that. I'll tell you what I like, too. And listen, he was certainly a good player. He had some iconic moments for sure, but nothing more than a good player, I don't think. But you know what? Guaranteed, like all former players, he went through a 1-for-31 slide where he couldn't hit a ball off a tee, where you know the opposing pitcher could say, hey, I'm going to groove at 90 right down the chute, give it a rip, and he probably fouled it back. You know, it's an interesting point that you bring up there, because he is still youthful enough. He you know, what he espouses verbally still resonates, because he's not that far removed from the game. And that's not to say that somebody in their 60s or, you know, even beyond, like back in the day, you know, like Joe Torre. Joe Torre, he was old, you know, older with the Yankees, but he still had a relatability, albeit in a different way. I like the fact that I like the trend of young managers. I really, we're seeing it in the NBA. Now, it doesn't always work, you know. Jason Kidd, not that he's that young, but he didn't work out for you guys. You know, Derek Fisher didn't work out for the Knicks. There's just certain people that don't work out. Part of it is the person. Part of it's the lack of talent on the roster, or a combination of both. But baseball, you know, for a sport, man, if you don't love baseball, you're just not going to be good, because it is a grind. And I try to tell this to Tiki, and you know, he certainly gets it now. But, you know, when he wasn't a big baseball fan growing up, I'm saying, Tiki, you know, yeah, you'd get your brain beat in, you know, 30 times if you carried it against the Eagles on a Sunday. But imagine being a ball player, and you play 162 times, you play 28 times a year, while you're not getting crushed unless you're a catcher, you're showing up at the ballpark 3 o'clock, 3:15, 3:30 for a 7:05 first pitch, you stretch him, you're going through BP. If you're a pitcher, you're running in the outfield. If you're a hitter, you're cutting up film of that night's opposing pitcher. If you're a pitcher, you're with your pitching coach and the catcher, and you're cutting up film going through the opposing lineup. And then, by the way, you got to play a game that has no time limit. And then, oh, yeah, by the way, you got to take a shower, meet the media. You're back in your car at midnight. Mm-hmm. You got to go do it again the next day. It's a grind. And if you don't have somebody in that dugout that gets the grind and can relate to it, you're just not going to be good.
Always great to talk to you, Brandon. We certainly appreciate it. And I'm going to get you on more often, man. Thanks so much for joining us for a couple of minutes, okay?
Oh, Billy, my pleasure, buddy. Thanks for having
appreciate
me.
Appreciate it, pal. Talk to you soon. Brandon Tierney, co-host of Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio. You can hear them there. They are fantastic. Always good to get him and Tiki both on the program. I join those guys during football season most of the time and talk Packers with them. But great to chat with him. He joined us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard. They treat you fair. 80-plus years. They've been getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE. Go to SchneiderJobs.com. 844-PRIDE. Go to SchneiderJobs.com. Stay tuned. More of the Bill Michaels Show next.
Border to border. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back. Bill Michaels Show is on the air. We're glad to have you. In case you didn't know, the Wisconsin Athletic Hall of Fame, yes, still alive, still kicking, up for its next induction ceremony coming up January 24th in Milwaukee's Discovery World. It's the 69th class to go in. Herb Kohler. For golf, on the golf side, from Kohler Company, Packers general manager Ron Wolf, Milwaukee Bucks great, Marcus Johnson going in as well. He now joins us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Marcus, how you doing, buddy?
I am just tickled pink to be here with you and to be a part of this outstanding class of inductees into the Wisconsin Hall of Fame.
So, when you say that, the Wisconsin Sports Hall of Fame, when you think about it in the grand scheme of things, you got a guy like Barry Alvarez or Bart Starr or Oscar Robertson, Vince Lombardi and Yount and Donald Driver. I mean, you can go on. To throw your name into the list of characters like that and greats like that, everybody aspires to go to the Hall of Fame, but when you start really realizing it, it's a pretty cool venture, isn't it?
It is, man, and I've been fortunate. I've been inducted into the Los Angeles City Hall of Fame, the UCLA Hall of Fame with a lot of great athletes, the College Basketball Hall of Fame. I'm up for nomination for the Naismith Hall of Fame. I think I have one more year of eligibility as a nominee for that. And then for this, the Wisconsin Hall of Fame, Sports Hall of Fame, it's an honor, especially when you consider all the names, all the great luminaries of sport that Wisconsin has produced over the years. It's a great honor. It's a terrific honor for me.
Marcus, I do want to ask you some Bucks stuff because the end of the season, we didn't get a chance to talk after the season really kind of culminated. We walked away saying, you know what, another first-round loss. They've got a lot of work to do. And then you watch Boston go on and give Cleveland everything and then some, and Cleveland ultimately prevails and goes on to the NBA Finals. But did it change your perspective when Boston went toe-to-toe with everybody, including Cleveland, right down to the stretch as to what the Bucks accomplished this season?
Well, my perspective was changed a bit when we were able to take Boston to seven games. And obviously, I was hoping for a better outcome in that seventh game. But you look at the upheaval of the head coach, Jason Kidd, replaced in January by Joe Prunty, and everything the team had to deal with, Jabari coming back in February. And when I say deal with, I just mean just in terms of adjustments having to be made on the fly. Once we took Boston to that seventh game, I would have liked for a much better effort and competitiveness in that seventh game. But overall, I felt a positive vibe coming out of that playoff series, especially with the knowledge that it would open up the pathway for us to pick a new coach. And I thought we did an outstanding job with Mike Budenholzer, who to me is one of the top tier coaches in the league. So we're just excited to have him.
Now, obviously, the other question, the loss of Jabari Parker. He goes to the Chicago Bulls. Jabari was outspoken. He came on our program, you know that, and had some things to say. He ended up backing it up, but it seemed like it didn't endear himself real well to the organization. I don't know what was going on behind the scenes, but what does the loss of Jabari Parker mean to this organization?
Well, you hate to lose a talent like a Jabari Parker, number two draft pick, but sometimes, Bill, you know, a change of scenery. You've been around this business a long time. And just sometimes a change of scenery is probably the best thing for both parties. Now, don't get me wrong. I had been one who's beating the drums for us to keep Jabari and hopefully just to hold on to as much elite-level talent as possible. But that being said, I mean, when you look at just raw numbers, he and Giannis, there would be some challenges with both of them on the floor, at both ends of the floor, the numbers, the metrics, the analytics. When they were both on the floor, were not a positive thing to look at. Not to say that they couldn't have worked through that and complemented each other a little bit better, but there were some struggles just kind of finding a position. Jabari's a four, his natural position in my mind. Giannis is a four. So what do you do? Play Jabari at the three? Push Chris Middleton down to the two? I mean, there's going to be some challenges. In terms of making this thing fit together. You don't want any one of those three coming off the bench. I don't think any one of those three would accept that, especially not Jabari. So I thought all those factors considered that this was probably the best move. If you were not going to go for the challenge of making it work, then it's the best thing happening. I mean, for Jabari going back to Chicago, going home, the Bucks, I thought, were really gracious in rescinding their qualifying offer. So now that he can get that second year at the team option instead of a non-guaranteed second year, he'll know his fate June 30th of next season, whether or not the team has picked up that option. So I just thought all around, we picked up Ilyasova, picked up Brook Lopez, and drafted a real good prospect in DiVincenzo. So I think it's one of those situations where everybody can feel satisfied.
We were talking earlier about players wanting to come and play in Milwaukee. I mean, it's going to be a big free agent crop coming out next year after this upcoming season. And, you know, obviously Giannis is a name that everybody knows. You got to win to be able to prove that you're a viable candidate for other players to want to come and play with you. But is it just as simple as saying, come play with Giannis? Because unless you win in the postseason, what's going to make players want to come here versus some of the other bigger markets?
Again, I think a lot of it has to start with Mike Budenholzer and creating a culture and using some of the experience that he was able to glom onto as a 20-year guy down in San Antonio. You saw what he did in Atlanta. They went from 38 to 60 wins. And I'm not looking for that kind of exponential improvement, but just in terms of a culture change, and I saw a little bit of it in the summer league in terms of movement and some of the things that the team was doing, the look that the team had. And so now if that translates into, 10 more wins, I'm just throwing a number out there. I haven't really looked and tried to figure out what I would expect in terms of our improvement next year. But if we're up around 52, 53 wins, and now it looks like we're just a piece away from being a LeBron-less Eastern Conference, potential team coming out of the East. You know, if I'm a free agent in Milwaukee playing with Giannis, 24, 25-year-old Giannis for the next 4 or 5 years, and with Budenholzer, I think should be able to build, and Chris Middleton and some of these other good young talent that we have, it becomes a real attractive situation in my mind. I really believe that. And then you throw in the new arena and the ownership group and the first class treatment of the players and everything about this organization that I've experienced firsthand the last 3 years, I think that becomes a real important feather in the cap of the Bucks in terms of attracting top-tier free agents. I really believe that.
Well, you need to go out and be an agent, and you need to go out and be a recruiter for the Bucks and tell them all the things you just told us, because that would sell anybody, I think, at this point.
There's a lot going on. The Bucks have a lot. I mean, it's a good upcoming team, and you got to give management credit because it wasn't an easy thing to do, to pull the trigger on that Jason Kidd firing and replacing Jason. Jason was, just honored as a Hall of Fame inductee and all that, and then to really pull the trigger and decide that you wanted to go in a different direction in January. You know, I didn't know how I felt about it at the time, but I got to give the upper management a lot of credit for just having the guts to go ahead and do what they thought was the best thing for the franchise. So now we're in a position now where we've got a whole new culture change in the making, and it has generated that with the new arena, and just in me, a whole another level of excitement and anticipation. So I can imagine, you know, what the rest of the basketball world is feeling.
It is coming up January 24th, the dinner to induct numerous dignitaries, including our own Marcus Johnson, into the Wisconsin Hall of Fame. Herb Kohler, Ron Wolf, Marcus Johnson, and it just joins a great big group of tremendous names of Wisconsin sports history. And if you want tickets to go to the dinner, call them 414-727-3605. Marcus, we always appreciate your time, man. Thanks so much for giving us the lowdown, and we'll chat again soon, okay?
Anytime, man. My pleasure as always.
Absolutely, pal. Congratulations. There you go. Marcus Johnson joining us for a couple of minutes. Again, January 24th is a dinner. It's going to be at Discovery World. And if you'd like to buy a table or you'd like to buy some tickets for the Wisconsin Sports Hall of Fame induction ceremony, it's coming up. 414-727-3605. 414-727-3605. More info at WIHallOfFame.com. WIHallOfFame.com. That's the Wisconsin Athletic Hall of Fame and their partnership with Discovery World. And it's a really neat event. I used to host that event. For years and years and years, I hosted that event. And it's great to sit and chat with those that have been there, done that in the world of sports in the state of Wisconsin. Always good. Stick around. More of the Bill Michael Show coming up next.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Show is on the air. I want to remind you that this portion of the program brought to you by our friends at Bud Light. Wednesday Night Live back tomorrow night at the Wisconsin State Fair Park. Bud Light brings you that. Music in the evening. Great times. It's free to get in, by the way. $6 if you park a car. Zippo if you park a motorcycle. Stop on out tomorrow night, Wednesday Night Live, out at the Wisconsin State Fair Park in the Budweiser Pavilion, which, by the way, right next to it, Goose Island. If you're going to go out for the Wisconsin State Fair, we're going to be there. The Bill Michaels Show will be broadcasting for the entire run of State Fair live from Goose Island, and make sure you come by and say hi. We had a blast out there last year, and it's great for a couple of reasons. One, we're not on the, you know, out. It's great to be out right there on the street because you get a chance to see more people, but when you want to get out of the heat or you want to get out of the rain or whatever it happens to be, or you want to sit down and enjoy a beverage or you want to sit down and enjoy something to eat because they do have food there, it's great when people come in and just kind of hang out for the show and sit in the fans and the breezes and just enjoy themselves at the State Fair. So we're going to be there for that as well, which is Goose Island is attached to the Budweiser Pavilion. So we're really looking forward to it. And it's brought to you by our good friends over at Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. This just came out. This is just bizarre, for lack of a better term. I don't know how else to put it. Terrell Owens, who is going to be inducted into the Hall of Fame, but does not want to show up for the Hall of Fame induction ceremony, now says that, at least through his agent, that he is now eyeing a comeback. Retired wide receiver Terrell Owens, soon to be inducted into the Hall of Fame, wants to come back. He's 44, activated a procedural window that requires the Edmonton Eskimos, who own his CFL rights, to offer him a contract or release him from their exclusive negotiation list within the next 10 days. The Canada-based agent who is representing Owens on the matter said Owens 100% wants to play football again at the pro level. He wants to play in the NFL, but if he can't, the CFL is his next best option. Three Down Nation, a CFL-focused website, first reported the news. There's no known interest for Terrell Owens among any of the NFL teams, who last played with the Cincinnati Bengals back in 2010, briefly in 2012 for the Allen Wranglers of the Indoor Football League, and then went to training camp with the Seahawks that summer. The Seahawks then released him. But the Eskimos have until July 24th to decide whether to offer him a contract or let go of his rights. And by CFL rules, a contract offer, even if it's for the CFL's minimum rookie salary, would allow Edmonton to retain his rights for at least another year. Now, he's unlikely to accept a minimum contract, but if nothing else, activating the window will put an end date on Edmonton's exclusivity rights. So, we'll see. By the way, speaking of Terrell Owens, did you see that even though he is not going to show up for the, which is, by the way, really PO'd a lot of Hall of Famers that said, look, Terrell, this is what it stems from. Terrell Owens had 3 years, first year, second year, third year to get into the Hall of Fame, and is mad he didn't get in on the first ballot. With his numbers, with his ability, with everything that he had, he didn't get in on the first ballot. So he's pissed off. And he said, you know what? I'm not going to go. I'm not showing up. It's not worth my time to go there. I'm going to go somewhere where I'm appreciated. This is a guy that was stumping to get into the Hall of Fame. So once he got there, he said, nah, I'm not going to show. Mail me my jacket. I'm in the Hall of Fame. That's all I wanted. To heck with it. Which, you know, there's some Hall of Famers. You don't need to go any further than Jerry Kramer to look how long and hard it takes to get you finally into the Hall of Fame and what it means once you get there. So for Terrell Owens to basically, you know, thumb his nose at it has really upset a lot. So Terrell Owens, thinking he's making peace, is sending each inductee this year their own set of shoes. And basically, they're kind of like deck shoes. They're kind of like boating deck shoes. But on these shoes, there's been an airbrush, almost a graffiti-like airbrush, of that particular inductee's likeness or number or career or whatever it is, you know, that would stand out. Now, some haven't said a word about it, and I think there's a few that think of it as kind of a slap in the face. He's trying to buy their favoritism. Brian Urlacher says, man, these are sweet. You know, he tweeted that out, but Terrell Owens trying to make some sort of peace with this year's inductees as to not take the entire spotlight away from them, even though he's kind of doing it by showing off shoes on his Twitter account. But there's quite a few inductees, or not inductees, but Hall of Famers that have come out strongly against Terrell Owens saying, look, if he doesn't want to be here, he should not be allowed in. He should just go away then. You know, yeah, you may have the numbers, but it's an honor to be here. It's an honor to be honored. And so if you're not, you know, now others say, look, you have the right to protest. You have the right to your own feelings, you know, free country, so be it. But there's quite a few Hall of Famers that have now spoken out and said, look, if he doesn't want to show up and accept the responsibility of becoming a Hall of Famer, then he just shouldn't be a Hall of Famer. He's not worthy of us. He's not worthy of this hall and what it means. So it's interesting because I said all along, Terrell Owens, you may think he's nuts, but his numbers and his ability should put him there. And, you know, but there's other writers that feel that, hey, there's certain privileges when it comes to being a first ballot Hall of Famer versus a second or third or whatever. And they felt that he didn't belong there right away. And, you know, I can't argue either side. But nevertheless, Terrell Owens now says that he wants to come back and play and now is forcing the Edmonton team, the Edmonton Eskimos, to move up the launch date, so to speak, on his career if indeed they're going to hold his rights. And if they decide to make him an offer, he could come back and play. If they don't, then they got to cut him loose, and that lets him negotiate with anybody so he can start to show his wares if indeed that's what he wants to do. So there you go. That's about Terrell Owens. Let's do this. Stay tuned. More of the Bill Michaels Show. Final segment coming up next.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. The Radio.com app is the official new home of 105.7 FM, The Fan. Download it today to listen to The Fan anytime, anywhere.
Show is on the air. The NFL odds have come out. I'll tell you what some of them are coming up here in just a moment. Hey, I want to remind you that our motorcycle ride is coming up. And it's going to take place Sunday, September 2nd. That's Labor Day weekend, so you don't have to work on Monday. But we cannot do this without you. And I've been encouraging motorcyclists to get a group together. And it doesn't matter what kind of bike you ride. It doesn't matter if it's a Harley or an Indian or Honda, whatever it happens to be, crotch rocket or not. Come on out and join us. We ride for veterans and those that are in the military and their families when they need medical care. The Fisher House of Wisconsin is there for them, and it means a lot. And, you know, for those that have signed on the dotted line for us, I think this is the least we can do. So can you come out and join us? Coming out Sunday, September 2nd, and we're going to start at Beachwood Distributing, which is Budweiser right off of 43. It's right there in Hales Corner, or in New Berlin, I should say. And then from there, we ride west. We're going to go about 100 miles. And then we're going to end up back at Wisconsin Harley-Davidson in Oconomowoc, and where we're going to have, you know, there's going to be bands, there's going to be food, there's going to be beverages, there's going to be raffle items, obviously the winners of the poker hand, some great prizes again this year. So really looking forward to it. If you can come out and join us, we had 348 bikes that joined us last year, and we are looking to get to 400 this year, and we can't do it without you and can't do it without some friends. So if you want to get pre-registered, you want to find out more information and such, all you have to do is go to Bill Michaels, M-I-C-H-A-E-L-S, BillMichaelsSports.com. All three words, put them all together, BillMichaelsSports.com. And you can find the events page. It's right there, the 11th annual Big Units Poker Run for the Fisher House of Wisconsin. You can get pre-registered. And the only way to get the commemorative T-shirt that we add the numbers to every year is by getting pre-registered, because it'll take your size and everything. And that way, when you show up, it's right there waiting for you, ready to go. And that's the way to do it. So it's going to be a lot of fun. And before we even get off to the start, going to be some good stuff going on at Budweiser as well, obviously. They opened up the whole warehouse to us last year, and we rode through it. Now, we're not going to do that this year, but they're going to open up a lot of things to us and have some you know, have some tastings and things like that if you'd like to partake a little bit, or maybe your passenger would. But it should be a lot of fun, and we're going to have a good time, and hopefully you can come out and join us, and that's coming up Sunday, September 2nd, Labor Day weekend, Harley-Davidson 115th weekend. So make sure you put that on your calendar as one of the things that you're going to do. You should attend it. It's a lot of fun. Really good time. Coming up tomorrow on the program, here's the question, and this is one of the things when we talk about David Stearns and being a general manager and how good he's been. Think about this team without Kane and Yelich. Without Kane and Yelich. So we're going to talk a little bit about that, about how much they've been needed and how much they've been a shot in the arm to this ball club. And then we'll keep you up to date. I mean, I know the rumors continue to circulate out there about who they may or may not get. Also, we'll take a look around the National League Central and look at all the teams with Seth Everett. He's going to stop by tomorrow as well. And I wrote the piece yesterday that many of you grabbed onto. When you look at the numbers coming out of, well, since May 29th, really, the Brewers have not been a fantastic team. I mean, it's 43 games, so that's not a small sample size. That's 43 games in which this team has played sub 500 baseball, for lack of a better term. I mean, they have. If you read the article, since May 29th, the Brewers are 20-23. Now, in comparison, the Cubs are 27-16, and even the Reds, don't forget, they fired their manager Brian Price right after that. Jim Riggleman takes over. He's got him at 24-17 in that same time frame. And when the Brewers were on fire, their bullpen ranked tops in the majors and second overall. Now the Brewers are ninth in the month of June and 12th in the month of July. So the pitching has tapered off a little bit. But the biggest need for this team has been more so the consistency of bats more than anything. So we'll get into that discussion tomorrow. And talk a little bit about this, because did you buy into the Brewers prior to May 29th when they were just extending that lead and everything, they were running away with everything and we were, you know, so euphoric? Or is this the real Milwaukee Brewers over the last 43 games in which they're three games under 500?
What needs to be stated, and again, this is why I don't like losing to lesser teams, because you had a golden opportunity to just continue to keep pace with the Cubs. Now the Cubs are up 2.5 games. Your upcoming stretch, Bill, includes teams against the Dodgers, the Nationals, and then you go out west and play the Dodgers again, and also the San Francisco Giants. It's a tough stretch, guys. It's a pretty tough stretch. So I don't know what's going to happen here. And again, the Brewers may be able to make a couple of acquisitions, which could make a big difference in those upcoming series. So we shall see. But, you know, the Brewers had an opportunity here to beat up on teams like the Marlins and the Pirates, and they failed to do that. And that could hurt them in the long run.
Yeah, no doubt. Now we'll see. We'll see what they have coming out of the second half of the season. And obviously, if there's a move to be made, and how much it does or doesn't bolster this team and put them kind of over the top. But, you know, it's for what they've been able to accomplish early on this year, like I said, in the small samples, a lot of people just looking at the 6-game losing streak going, well, it's, you know, no big deal. But it is. When, like I said, the Cubs are 27-16 since May 29th, the Reds are 24-17, and the Brewers are 20-23. You know, kind of gives you room for pause.
And again, if you're just joining us, it appears the Dodgers will be acquiring Manny Machado, but the Brewers and Phillies are still right there, just right in case something doesn't go right. But they're saying that this deal should be getting done tomorrow. So yep, hopefully we'll have an update tomorrow.
Enjoy the All-Star game tonight. Time for us to go. Have a go. Shoot!
Wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.